Welcome, everyone, and thanks for being with me this next hour. You are listening to Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks on Transformational Tuesdays here on 1-2 Radio, where we are working to change the way we listen to the world. Sometimes we work really hard, and other times it's more like a game. It's just play. But that's what we're doing. We're just trying to be more attentive, more objective, and be neutral observers of our world and figure out what's going on for us. So this is December 17th, 2024. And on today's show, we will be looking at the week ahead, the astrological highlights and lowlights, we might call them, which includes the winter solstice, which is Saturday, December 21st. And that's when the sun will move into the cardinal sign of Capricorn. And believe it or not, it happens on December 21st, which of course is 12:21 at 1:21. a.m. Pacific time, which I think is, that kind of sounds like code to me with all those ones and twos. Now, I know if you're looking at, you know, Central Time or another time zone, it's not exactly that. But yeah, it's 12:21 at 1:21 a.m. Pacific time. That's when the sun will move, and it's officially the winter solstice. So that's what we're going to talk about today, and what kind of impact or what kind of message we can derive from that. But I do want to do a few announcements. This is our last show for 2024. Because 1-2 Radio will be on a holiday break for the next 2 weeks, starting Monday, December 23rd, I believe it is, and coming back on Monday, January 6th, which means we'll be back on the air on the 7th of January. But as many of you know, we often have those pop-up shows. So I would say, you know, if you're a person who loves to listen to 1-2 Radio, you might watch for that. Make sure that you're on mailing lists if you have a favorite host on 1-2 Radio, or make sure you're on Mark's mailing list, Mark Hessen, because he'll tell you if we're going to have some pop-up shows. And, you know, we almost always do something. In fact, I don't remember a time we haven't done something for the new year. We don't necessarily do it on New Year's Eve or New Year's Day, but you know, we love doing those kind of shows, just looking at the future, looking at 2025. So just watch, you know, we're just, you know, right now we're just like playing it by ear, right? We're just going with the flow here. But also, I would remind you, many of you already know this, that we have encores running 24/7 on 1-2 Radio. So even though the shows are not live in the next 2 weeks, maybe, you know, you could use that time to catch up. Maybe there are some hosts that you've really wanted to check out, or you've missed some of their shows. This might be a good time to do that. And of course, you can find those by going to 12radio.com and go to the tab that says On Demand. Look for the host that you want to listen to. And when you click on that person's name, you'll see all the shows that are there. And there should be about 6 months worth of shows for every host that is on 1-2 Radio. And, you know, that's one of the things I'm going to be doing. In fact, I do it often because I really want to catch what somebody said, and I just didn't have the opportunity to listen to it live. So if you want to re-listen to something or just catch up, that's a good thing to do during those 2 weeks. And like I said, watch for those pop-up shows, because that could be happening too. Now, as way of another announcement, we will be saying goodbye and good luck to our producer, Jay Varvel. Jay is stepping away from his role as producer on 1-2 Radio, but you're still going to find him hosting his own shows here and also as an advisor at 1-2 Listen. So he's not gone. He's simply stepping away from doing the production at this point. So I want to say a special thank you to Jay for being so conscientious in producing the show and really making it easy for me to focus on my message instead of the technology. Because, you know, a year or two ago, we had changed the platform that we were using for 1-2 Radio, and Mark said, hey, everybody, you can produce your own shows. And some people did, and they still do. And I don't know. I mean, I'm just reticent to do that because I just want to stay focused on what I'm talking about and not worry too much about what the computer is doing. But I don't know. We'll see what happens in the future. I don't want to be a non-techie, but in any case, Jay has just made it really easy that I didn't have to worry about that stuff. You know, I just had to show up, make sure my microphone was on, and then I was ready to go. Have a little cough this morning. So Jay's stepping away, but Serena is stepping in. She will be our new producer in 2025. So you will all meet her if you haven't met her already. I think she's already been producing some shows for the last month. So some of you already know her, but she's going to be there on the back end, making sure that everything runs smoothly for us. And I would also remind you that even though 1-2 Radio is taking a break, Mark's Power Peak is not. So many things on the site are just going to continue as usual. 1-2 Listen, 1-2 Academy, if there's classes scheduled over there. But Mark's Power Peak is that online newsletter and weekly forecast, really, about what's coming up. You know, there's a number of articles by different people, and, you know, on metaphysics, numerology, tarot, all kinds of spiritual and metaphysical topics. So I think it's a great thing to subscribe to, because it just, you know, sometimes you just need to really feel connected. And in our day and age, that's how we stay connected often. Sorry, hope my voice is going to be okay. That's how we stay connected. So that's going to be there every single week. So, you know, I hope that you will stay connected by reading that and reading my column the week ahead, because that's where we're going to talk about what we usually discuss on this show. And Mark, you know, on his show on Mondays, he's always talking about the astrology and what's going on. So, you know, you're not going to be out of touch just because radio isn't, you know, the shows aren't live. So make sure you check out the, you know, Mark's Power Peak and figure out what's going on every single day and just check in on it. And I know it sounds kind of funny, but sometimes I'm out and about and I'm even asking myself, okay, when was that moon perfectly full? And when is it going to be new? Or when did Mars move retrograde? Or whatever it is, I'm looking for a specific moment. So I just pull out my phone, I go to Mark's Power Peak and I check it out, because you can look at the individual days, you can look at the intro or whatever. So I do it myself, even though I actually write that column. And a lot of times, most of that stuff is on the tip of my tongue. It's not always. And sometimes I go, yeah, what did I say about this day? What was going on this day? And I just want to see in what framework, you know, what was I thinking when I wrote this particular day and how is it working out? So I find it really helpful to have that as an online newsletter to just check in with, a reference. So before we get to talking about our topic today, the Cosmic Dance for the week of December 16th, I want to also invite you to join me over in our private chat room over on Facebook. And if you haven't been there before, you get there by going to 1-2radio.com and you will see a link that says chat. And when you push that, you're automatically connected to Facebook, and then you can sign in however you do it. And if you haven't been in our chat room before, you can just basically, you know, digitally, electronically knock on the door and our producer, Jay Barvell, will let you in. So go, you know, please do that if you'd like to do it and you know, make comments or just be over there today. It's always fun. You historically know, I don't know if I'm technologically challenged or what, but I have had some issues with Facebook. They kind of keep kicking me off. So I'm not sure what that's about. But most of the time I get to the point where I can read your comments and respond to them, even if I can't do it live during the show. So thank you so much for coming over there. I see already Charlene is there. Good morning. Thank you. And Renee and James, you guys, thank you so much. You're just always my core group being there in the chat room. And there's Leslie. Good morning to you. And let's see who else. Jane, hey, thank you very much. And she says, congrats to Jay Barvell. So I want to pass that on too for his new adventure. So everybody, thank you. And what a beautiful picture, Leslie, that she posted. It looks like Stonehenge. And I'm sure that's in honor of the winter solstice. So thank you for that picture. So now I'm going to go back to my notes. You guys play on Facebook while I am, you know, getting this together and talking. So we're looking at what's going on this week, a little bit beyond. And, you know, as we are setting our intentions for the new year, as we're celebrating the holidays and just looking at what's coming up, I know that we really want to take it one step at a time. I'm sorry, my voice is cranky this morning. Not sure why, but there it is. You know, it's just dry where I live. So As we're doing that, I just kind of want to set the stage. And we are going to talk about the sun in Capricorn. But to me, the stage, just keep this in mind as we're moving through the next few weeks. Mercury just recently finished a retrograde pattern. In fact, it was on Sunday afternoon, December 15th, that Mercury came out of its retrograde, which had been 21 days. Now, why is that important? Because we're still under what we call the shadow of the retrograde until January 2nd. Now, that's not a scary thing. It's not a bad thing. In fact, it's a very good thing. Because what that means is some of the revelations, some of the messages, some of the things that came to us or that we heard or that we thought about, you know, discussions we had, communications with people, some of those things are still just kind of sitting there. And we've got 2 weeks that basically under the shadow means that we're still processing that information. We're assimilating that information. We're turning it around and trying to figure out exactly what it means. You know, it's a way of comparison, so to speak, because, you know, Mercury gave us the opportunity to look at a period of time three times, basically, you know, because it went forward, it went backwards, and then it went forward again. So we have all these little pieces of information that sometimes maybe they're not quite settled yet. So being under the shadow of the retrograde means that during the next 2 weeks, really until at least January 2nd, we're going to still be incorporating that information. So there again, you don't even have to be in a rush. Or maybe it's just something that all of a sudden it comes to you and say, you know what? I think I've heard this a couple times. I mean, I know that's what happens for me. I will hear something and it kind of triggers something. And then I'll hear it again in another context. Then I'll go, okay, I'm listening. You know, this is intuition. This is coming from somewhere. And so that's what happens to us too. So over the next 2 weeks, just be aware that that's going on. And in terms of retrograde, we do have a number of planets that are retrograde right now. But the other one I would draw your attention to is Mars. This is the planet of action, inspiration, and motivation. I always say it's the planet that gets us up in the morning. Well, Mars went retrograde on December 6th, and it will stay retrograde through February 23rd of 2025. So during that period, that's the actual period when it looks to us like it's moving backwards. But here again, it actually entered the shadow of the retrograde on October 5th. So what really is going on while we move through the retrograde is Mars is going back and uncovering everything that has happened since October 5th and saying, I want you to take another look at this, or there's another way to perceive this. There's another way to put these pieces together. And so then when it goes forward on February 23rd, it will then give us that opportunity until it leaves its shadow, which is May 2nd, to put those pieces back together. So as you look at this, I mean, this tells us something about 2025, because not only is Mars moving retrograde, which says we're laying some foundations, but they aren't going to be really set up for a few months yet, but it's also telling us that even through May 2nd, things are going to be very, very fluid for us. Now, I know some of you are probably, you know, it's just that thinking of, hey, we're going into a new year and I want to hear the ground running and this is happening and this is happening. I'm not telling you not to do that, but I want you to be aware that I do think this is a very fluid time with Mars retrograde and a very, I love the retrogrades personally. I truly do, because I think they give us opportunities to really strengthen foundations, especially when it's Mars, getting all the pieces together. Because what I find that happens is if I rush around, or people I talk to, if they're rushing around and just trying to force an issue, force a relationship, force a project, force something to kind of come into manifestation, then what happens is that all of a sudden they realize part of the foundational pieces are missing. Something doesn't come together, you know, something they thought was all together, they thought about everything, there's a missing piece. And they have to go back and pick it up. So if we just work methodically, with Mars retrograde, it's going to help us lay some foundations. And some of the really important foundations that we're laying with Mars retrograde, it started being retrograde in Leo. Now, eventually, it's going to go back into Cancer. In fact, it's going to re-enter Cancer on January 7th. But while Mars is in Leo, we're working with issues of self-worth, self-confidence, really feeling, getting into our passion, getting into our uniqueness, and not necessarily separating ourselves from other people, but coming to a place where we really value what we have to contribute. You know, sometimes you'll get into a group, or, you know, maybe it's a family situation or it's a group situation where somebody has some really incredible talent. And we look, you know, at ourselves and go, well, I can't do that. I can't do it like so-and-so can do it. You know, and we get into this place of believing that we don't have anything valuable to contribute. And you know what? That's just not true. And with Mars in Leo, that sign of self-expression, the sign of leadership and nobility and performance, says, hey, take another look at what your talents are. What are your strengths? What are you bringing to the table? And so Mars retrograde gives us an opportunity to go a little bit deeper with that and say, well, you know, what have we got to contribute here? What is our self-worth? And raising that up as a valuable piece to the entire puzzle, a valuable piece to the family or to the community or whatever it is. And so that's the foundational piece that's going to be so important that we don't want to skip over by just, let's get this Mars retrograde over, you know, let's just get this done. No, this is an opportunity to really explore that on a day-by-day basis. But then when it moves into Cancer, the tone will change a little bit. Because Cancer, what are Cancer issues or what's Cancer about? It's a sign that is definitely associated with mothers and motherhood and nurturing and caretaking, but it's about the family unit. It's about being faithful to a group of people. And if you think about it, so when we've got a lot of Cancer energy, those are some of the things on our minds. You know, what's the good of the family group? What's in the higher interest of this particular unit, this particular tribe? So it could be that as we look at all those things in Leo, I'm going, well, my self-worth and what do I want and my uniqueness and my independence. I need some independence from this family or from this group. Well, we go back and we pick up a few more pieces about what are our loyalties to a group and what does that look like. And the truth is, with Mars retrograde, we're likely to change those. You know, we might look at those and say, am I in the right group? You know, or what should my relationship be to this family? And we will be re-looking at what our motivation is for our faithfulness, our loyalty, and our commitments to those things. The other thing we're going to look at, just, you know, Cancer is about security. It's about feeling safe. So there again, we might start re-examining things that we think make us safe. And do they? You know, where does safety really come from? Where does that feeling of security really come from? Well, if we put it outside of ourselves, we're never going to feel safe, right? So Mars retrograde in Cancer gives us that opportunity to be looking at those Cancer issues. It re-enters on January 7th, and then when it moves direct on February 23rd, it will take Mars until April 18th to get back to Leo. So see, between these two signs, we're looking at that juxtaposition between my allegiance to a group, my allegiance to family, and when do I become independent? When, you know, how do I set the boundaries? Because, you know, I want to be faithful over here, but I also need to be an individual and really doing my contribution in the world. And, you know, in a sense, that's a difficult transition all the time. I mean, if you even just think about childhood and growing up, how do you make that transition? And for a lot of people, it's a very bumpy one. And even as we're adults, even older adults, that can still be a bumpy transition. In fact, it wasn't too long ago. My mother is 95 years old. And something was going on, and she said to me, it was, you know, I was making a decision, believe it or not, for myself. And she said, I am the mother. And I just said, well, you know what? How old do I have to get before I get to make my own decision? You know, and I realized those kinds of issues, in some ways, they never go away. That's how she saw it. She's the mother. So ultimately, she had final say. And I'm going, you know what? I think I'm old enough to figure this out. So in any case, you know, once again, you just realize those issues are always on the table. So Mars retrograde, we get to play with it, guys. We get to play with it. We get to look at those issues. Our faithfulness, our loyalty, our commitment to groups and to family in particular, maybe to home, to where we live, but also what we think makes us safe and secure. And then we get to kind of go fresh into Mars in Leo with a new sense of self-worth, a new sense of self-confidence, and maybe a new feeling about what our boundaries are and what our relationships are with family as well. So that's, we've talked about Mars retrograde a lot here, but I'm not sure we had gone into all that detail in previous shows. So I wanted to make sure that we did that. So as we move into 2025, we got that Mars retrograde. That's a big thing that is changing the flow and just making us maybe a little more introspective than ordinarily we would be moving into a new year. But as we look at 2025, and we have touched upon some of these topics, and if you've been listening to Mark, I think he's touched upon them as well on his show, and you read other astrologers and talk to other people, you may know some of these things. But once again, we're not going to go into detail, but I want you to understand 2025 and 2026 are going to look significantly different than where we have been. Because number one, Pluto, that slow moving planet, and not because it physically is slow in the universe, but because it's so far out from the sun. From our perspective on planet Earth, Pluto's a slow mover, and it's been in Aquarius, you know, for more than a decade, but now it's in Aquarius. It's been there since December 19th. It's going to be there through January of 2044. This is a whole new age for us. With Pluto, the planet of change and transformation, in an air sign, and a very progressive air sign. So that's one thing. That's a piece of the puzzle. But the other thing that's happening is Neptune, another relatively slow-moving planet because it's so far out, it takes Neptune 14 years to go through a sign. So there again, if you're reading the Power Peak or you're following astrology, you're not hearing about Neptune changing signs very often. It's been 14 years that it's been in Pisces. Well, in 2025, on the last day of March, it's going to move into Aries, a fire sign. Let's go get them. Follow me, boys. You know, it's going to move into Aries. Saturn, which has been in Pisces for 2.5 years, is going to move into Aries in May. And Uranus, another very slow moving planet, it has a transit of about 7 to 8 years. It's been going through Taurus, an earth sign. Well, guess what? In 2025, in July, it's going to move into Gemini, an air sign. So what we've got is the three outer planets, Pluto, Neptune, and Uranus, all basically in different signs in 2025 than they have been. And so moving forward, they're going to be there for a while. And then we even have Saturn joining them by joining in Aries. Now, when I say they're beginning their transits in 2025, I want to emphasize that these planets all move retrograde. So you know what they do? They move into those new signs, they go through a few degrees, and sure enough, at some point in 2025, they're going to go retrograde. So we're going to see all those planets, other than Pluto, we're going to see all of them return to the sign they were in, at least for a short period of time, maybe a few months. And then by the end of 2025 and 2026, they're all going to be firmly established in those new signs. So we're going to talk a lot more about this into 2025 and beyond. But I just want you to know that to me, when I look at that and I see all that movement and the Mars retrograde, I'm going, you know what? Those first 6 months of 2025 are going to look very, very different than where we have been. But they're also going to look very, very different from the last 6 months of 2025. This is going to be a year of flux and transition as those planets are really making those changes from basically earthy, grounded energy in those earth signs and the water signs, which are emotional and intuitive and creative and imaginative, moving into fire, moving into air. And that combination, you know, lots of ideas, lots of changes in technology, lots of passion. And so it's just going to have a very different feel. So as you just think about it, you know, once again, it's like the words that come up for me are words like flexibility, adaptability, imagination, and of course, maybe more than others, endurance. I want you to hang on to that idea, not only because of the winter solstice, which we're going to talk about next, Saturn moving into Capricorn, but just we do need to endure by hanging on to a few things, but being willing to be flexible and adaptable as we release some others as the circumstances change. So as we start looking at the week ahead in earnest now, when we look at any time a planet is in a cardinal sign, we have a seasonal change. In this case, we're going into winter in the northern hemisphere, summer in the southern hemisphere, but it's also a new astrological quarter. So even though, you know, some of the things, most of what I'm talking about is the sun in Capricorn, but understand that it really is a whole quarter that we're changing, not just the sun in a new sign, but it's a new quarter. But what's also kind of interesting to me, or it's intriguing, is we talk about this as being the beginning of winter. Saturday, December 21st is the beginning of winter. It's the longest night of the year in the Northern Hemisphere. But to me, I'm thinking, well, why is the longest night of the year at the beginning of winter? Somehow that doesn't make sense. And I think of the old, some of the Druid religions and that kind of thing, they called it midwinter. And maybe that's psychologically a little more accurate, because as soon as that we hit that point, then it's the return of light every single day. The days grow longer and the nights get shorter. Now, I think if you're looking for omens, if you're looking for that kind of thing, well, this is a very hopeful sign for many of us who have felt disappointed or just generally like up in the air or confused about world events this year. This is our annual opportunity to say there's hope. The sun has returned from its southern home, so to speak. And there's hope. You know, it's our cosmic sign in the sky that there is hope. So the winter solstice is the moment when the sun enters the pragmatic, disciplined, and achieving sign of Capricorn. And surely one of the messages of the solar cycle and the astrological quarter is that idea of endurance. You know, stay with the plan, keep moving in the direction. You know, you need to adapt, but just stick to the plan. You know, don't bail out right now. So when you look at Capricorn, it's ruled by Saturn. And by the way, I love Saturn. I know it's one of the planets that kind of gets a dubious, you know, reputation by a lot of people, but I love Saturn. And, you know, in truth, I love all the planets in terms of what they psychologically represent to us, because they're all a piece of the puzzle that we really need. And Saturn to me is that disciplinarian, but it allows us to function. It's like the bones in our body. It's associated with the skin on our bodies. And I always like to say to people, think about what you would be like if you had no bones and no skin. Now, all I can imagine is we would be a blob. And what does this blob do? You know, no boundaries, no bones to take us from one place to another. So what would our mobility look like if we didn't have Saturn, if we didn't have bones? Saturn is a planet of manifestation, and it rules Capricorn. Now, also, as you're thinking about this, you may be going, oh, but you know what? I don't have a sun in Capricorn. In fact, I don't have any Capricorn planets. Well, everybody has the idea of Capricorn somewhere in their charts, because of course, what those natal astrological charts are, when we cast them for any, you know, for any moment in time, it's a circle, and it shows us where each and every constellation of stars was positioned at that moment around the planet Earth. So even if you have no planets representing Capricorn in your chart, you still have a whole section of your chart where Capricorn is influential. So don't forget that. You know, don't just point it out. Sorry about that. Tucker's going after something. Speaking about Capricorns, he is a Capricorn. But in any case, so he's my good little guard dog. But sorry about that, because I know the microphone picks up his barking. And if he doesn't stop, then we'll have to shut the door. But you have that kind of influence in your chart. So don't tune it out and go, okay, you know, this isn't for me. Of course it's for you. It's for all of us. And I'll tell you what, hold on, I am going to shut the door. Okay, hopefully that'll be a little bit better. I don't know what he's going after, something outside. Stranger danger, you know? Okay. So speaking of stranger, though, Capricorn is no stranger to the idea of challenge and limitation, extreme conditions, and quite honestly, feelings of isolation and restriction. I want you to think of and hold the idea of a mountain goat in your mind, because if you've ever seen them, watched them, and how they can literally scale those sheer sides of cliffs. Now, I spent most of my life living in Colorado, and there was one particular place where they always hung out. And believe it or not, it was really right off of a highway. So you could pull over on this highway and watch them on the side of this cliff, the side of this mountain. It was a pretty large area. So anytime you drove along there, not only did you see the mountain goats, but you always saw people pulled over because they just fascinated watching these guys. And it looked literally like they were hanging off the sides of the Rocky Mountains. I mean, you're looking and it's like, what are they even standing on? I mean, it was just an amazing sight to see. Which brings us to some of those words, some of those concepts, some of those ideas that have to do with Capricorn. These are the things, and if you hear one and you go, okay, that's what I want to hang on to. Maybe you want to hang on to one or two of these. But Capricorn, here are their words, here are their concepts, their qualities, their characteristics, persistence, achievement, determination. Here again, this is all thanks to Saturn. Resolve, organization, you know, condensing things, pulling them in, making them what they are. Discipline, structure, hardworking, dependable, industrious, pragmatic, cautious, reserved, serious, patient, systematic, efficient, ambitious. And ultimately, I want you to associate Saturn and Capricorn with the word victory. They are victorious. As an earth sign, Capricorn is one of the doers of the zodiac. You know, those earth signs, you know, Taurus and Virgo, they are the doers of the zodiac. They get things done. They dig in. They make sure it happens. As a cardinal sign, Capricorn generates energy and initiates action. They are initiators. These are the movers and shakers of the zodiac. That's Aries, Cancer, Libra, and Capricorn. So it shares those qualities with those other three signs. Now, the archetypes, when you think about Capricorn, you can come up with many, but certainly they're associated with father. You know, the same way Cancer is associated with mother, that's the opposite sign. Well, Capricorn is father, executive, managers, CEOs, and builders. Now, here's an interesting thing, too. You know, all of the signs and or the planets are associated with tarot cards or with tarot ideas. So in the tarot deck, Capricorn is represented by the devil. Now, you know, I know a lot of people, myself included, we're going, the devil? You know, what does Capricorn have to do with the devil? But partially, it's because this is also associated with the mythological god of Pan. And this is very much, it's agricultural, but it's also about passion. It's about passion and just libido and sexuality and those kinds of things. But it's also, in terms of the tarot, I think Capricorn is associated with the devil because this is about overcoming the negative mind. Being able to harness one's desires and power rather than letting those things control you. And that's what the devil is about. I mean, the devil so much in tarot is about the habits that we put into place. In fact, I often think of, I know this may sound kind of weird, and I'm sure I didn't think it up myself. I probably read it somewhere. But I think of the devil as Frankenstein. Because it might have been a great idea. You know, Dr. Frankenstein, he thought, I can create life. I wonder if I get all these pieces of human body and put them together, can I create something? You know, where does life come from? So the idea may not be so bad. And it's the same thing with us, and especially as we're at the end of the year, we may be thinking about habits, you know, like, oh, I started drinking a green drink every day, or I started going to the gym, or I started doing this. But you know what happens? Oftentimes, when a habit just becomes overly ritualized, or we can't live without it, you know, my life is going to fall apart if I don't have my ritual, if I don't have my habit, then it becomes the devil. It becomes something that is handicapping us or possibly sabotaging us because it's controlling us rather than the other way around. So there again, habits aren't bad. But if we lose control of them, you know, if we create Frankenstein, if we have this idea that at first is very intriguing, it's groundbreaking, it's incredible, but it becomes our personal Frankenstein, then the devil is the card that kind of steps in and says, you know, who's controlling who here? So as an archetype in the tarot, it's a very useful concept. You know, so once again, you're not afraid of the devil in the tarot because it basically says, hey, wake up and smell the coffee. Who's controlling here? You know, something that once was great in your life, it could have been a relationship. Like I said, it really could have been a habit. And now you find, you know, you've just overdosed on something because, you know, if some is good, then more is better. And maybe that wasn't necessarily true. And or it just becomes, when it becomes that your happiness and satisfaction is dependent on it, then it's time to look at it. So Capricorn is associated with that, overcoming the negative mind and taking control of it. And you know, that seems very Saturn as well, because it's about discipline. And here again, so many people associate Saturn with negativity or limitation or restriction. But sometimes we need to look at those. Have we become overly restrictive? Or are we not disciplined enough? Who's controlling who? So overcoming the negative mind, being able to be in charge of our habits and our routines is what we really want. You know, being mobile and being using Saturn to its best, being able to manifest what we want in our lives, not letting something else do it for us. So mythologically, if we look at Capricorn, this is our search for that inner power, inner authority, the inner manager. I mean, that's what Saturn is in our charts as well. You know, how do we find our own personal authority? That's Saturn. You know, so we don't have to blame it on other people or whatever. But let's look quickly at the mythology of Capricorn And I always laugh at this first line because I borrowed it from Mark Hessen. I borrowed a lot from Mark Hessen. But he always says Capricorn in the mythology is the stories of angry fathers and vengeful mothers. And which, like I say, it just makes me laugh. Maybe it's because I can hear it in my head, hear Mark saying it. But the reason is because if you kind of follow those mythological characters, Cronos and his brother Rhea are banished by their father because of their ugliness. There you go. That's a nice thing, right? But the mother, she convinces them to go back and attack their father, which they do. So, you know, there you start getting the angry fathers, the vengeful mothers. But Cronos himself, as he grows up, he ends up eating his own children because there was a prophecy that said they would rise up against him. Of course, he rose up against his father, and now he's afraid his kids are going to rise up against him. So what does he do? He makes sure that they die at birth. He's not going to let them rise up against him. But Zeus, one of his children, is hidden away and protected by Uncle Rhea. And so what does he do? Zeus grows up to rebel against his father. So as you look at some of this mythology that's associated with Capricorn, you are going to have those father issues or authority issues, if you want to see it that way. And oftentimes, there's the characterization is of some kind of limitation and restriction. There again, you know, not only did Dad not love me, but he kept me hidden away and I never got to do what I wanted to do or whatever. But we also need to reconcile the need for structure in our lives with that Pan myth as well, which is, like I said, libido and desire. So sometimes as we look at this, we just realize in our lives, and here again, doesn't matter if you have some Capricorn planets or not, where do we need that sense of discipline? Where do we maybe have a really overly controlling sense of authority, somebody in our life maybe really, or a sense of deprivation? You know, how do we balance those kinds of things out? And we really need to challenge ourselves to become that inner strong person, to become the inner parent, and to reach our own pinnacle of success. So Capricorn is a challenge to develop responsibility and resourcefulness and integrity and the ability to learn how to set our own goals, realistic goals and boundaries. So once again, what are the words? Endurance, resistance, consistency. You know, it's like, and a couple funny things about Capricorn, if they don't have problems, if they don't have a challenge, they might just go out and make some. Because they, once again, almost like Aries, they need a challenge. They need something to overcome. They need to be able to prove their self-worth by their ability to achieve. This is a sign that turns lessons into knowledge, pain into wisdom, and transforms oppression into liberation. Another funny thing, you know, about Capricorn is, and now all of a sudden I just lost it. But it'll come back to me in a second. But it just has to do with that idea. Oh, this is what it is. And actually, it's not funny. It's just what Capricorn does. Capricorn is a great leader. Like I said, you know, they're the CEO. They're maybe the boss. They're the manager. However, success and the sweetness of it for a Capricorn comes from doing it themselves. And, you know, almost even think of a two-year-old, you know, when they're learning to do things, or maybe they're three or four or whatever. And, you know, how often do you hear them say something like, do it myself? You know, that's what happens because it's this sense, I need to learn to do this myself. I need to feel independent. I need to feel like I'm not dependent on you. And so here again, if you think about the mythology of Zeus being kind of hidden away and maybe not getting the love and the attention, and certainly not the attention from father that he would have wanted, then you get that sense of, I need to know that I can do this on my own. And so there again, in fact, I was looking at with somebody the other day in a south node in Capricorn and realizing that, you know, when this person gets scared, when this person is worried, you know, and thinking insecure, what do? They run back to, I have to be self-independent. I have to know I can do this on my own. Because if I'm depending on somebody else, that makes me scared. Now, it doesn't mean that they're not in great relationships with other people. But a Capricorn needs to know they can hang on to the side of the cliff. And they get their self-confidence by challenging themselves and by doing something and saying, look at me, I did this myself. So that's something to remember if you're around a Capricorn. Maybe it's a coworker, or maybe it's a family member, or maybe it's just a friend. When they want to do something on their own, when they want to do it themselves without help, part of it is coming from that sense of, I need to know that I can do it. I need to have that sense of achievement, that sense of victory, that I can really do this on my own. So give me the opportunity, give me the chance to know that I can really do this on my own. And see, like I say, I say it's funny, but I don't even know why I think it's funny, because it's not. It's just, it's one of those characteristics. I often notice it in Capricorn that, you know, it'd be perfectly fine for us to be doing this together, but they're like, no, I want to do it myself. I want to do this on my own. Well, they need that. That's how they build that self-confidence. That's how they build their strength, is using that Saturn discipline and structure and organization to know that they can do it. So let them do it, and let them know that sometimes that sweet success is when they have proven to themselves that they could really do something on their own. All right? So I also bring that into where we're going, you know, in the world as a group. So no matter where we are personally, no matter what we're facing or what we're confronting as families and communities and as nations or as a planet, this is a time for seriousness. This is Capricorn. This is discipline and structure. And we need people committed to a higher purpose. You know, something drawing us along, something that we are faithful to. Saturn is a planet of commitment. So, you know, there is that sense of just being serious people committed to a higher purpose at this time, whatever that is for you. And we don't get distracted by challenges. And in fact, we embrace those challenges. That's what makes us strong. That's what clarifies where we need to go and what we need to do. So the idea here to endure is to keep focused on not only immediate goals. I mean, there are some immediate goals we need to pay attention to, but also those long-term goals. Just stay focused. Keep your eye on the ball, so to speak. Now, another image that has been coming up for me this week is of a shepherd gently but firmly guiding sheep. Now, I will admit, you know, it's the holidays. I'm probably listening to a lot of music and movies, and so the shepherd idea comes up. But the reason I thought it was interesting and I really kind of latched on to it is because of our thoughts and the whole idea that all it takes is one stray thought. You know, one doubt, one worry, and you're, me at least, I'm often running in a new direction. I'm not being disciplined. I'm not being structured. So I thought of this shepherd who just goes, come back here. You know, that's not the direction that you want to go. And so I thought, instead of, which I often do, I get angry at myself, you know, why did you do that? Don't go there, blah, blah, blah. Well, what if it was just the shepherd who was very stern and firm, but also gently bringing my thoughts back into where they needed to be? Because let's face it, we often feel victimized by circumstances, and our thoughts are the most influential to our interpretations, our perceptions, our attitudes, and ultimate happiness and satisfaction. I mean, truly, if we can control our thoughts, if we can observe our thinking and our thoughts, then we can truly direct our path. And if we can't do that, then we're almost never going to direct our path. We're not going to have that discipline of Saturn. So I offer that to you too, that instead of beating yourself up, maybe it's just this gentle shepherd who's not going to let you stray too far. You know, it's just an idea. Like I said, it's something that was coming to me this week. Now, before we close out the show, though, I also want to offer you, there's one more thing coming up this week that is exciting, it's interesting, and that is that we've got Venus, the planet of love, the planet of values, in Aquarius, and Jupiter in Gemini coming together in a trine. That's going to be Thursday evening. Now, it doesn't get much better than this for social interactions and connecting with other people. But of course, what I want to point out is these are both in mental air signs, you know, and Jupiter is retrograde. So as we look at this, you know, Venus can be a little detached and she can be very independent thinking when she's in Aquarius. And Jupiter's looking at ways to simplify. So even though I think this is excellent energy and it could be the start of something really exciting and good, you know, in terms of a romantic relationship or just having a really good time with family, we have to be careful with our expectations. But know that if there's going to be a time this week that it might be good for, you know, getting together with other people or, you know, talking or, you know, having a party or whatever, or just going out to dinner, maybe a quiet dinner, that might be the time, is Thursday evening. Now, also, I just want to say just a couple more things before we really close out the show, because this is another idea that kind of keeps popping up for me. And that is that magic can appear in a number of ways, a number of guises. And we often miss it because we go, oh, that's just so ordinary. Well, that's how magic often appears for us, is it's hidden in very simple, ordinary, everyday forms. So that's where we find the magic. It doesn't have to be something strong and dramatic. Okay, so look for the magic this week. And the quote of the week is, you will never reach your destination if you stop and throw stones at every dog that barks. Success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts. Now, that's Winston Churchill. He actually is not a sun in Capricorn. He's a sun in Sagittarius. But he does have his sun connected to Saturn in his chart in Aquarius. And it's also connected to Uranus in Leo in his chart. So that gives him that kind of quality. But I just wanted to offer that. You know, success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It's the courage to continue that really counts. So everybody, thank you so much for joining me today. This has been so much fun. I hope you have wonderful holidays, you know, and that you just, all of your celebrations are exactly what you want them to be, or, you know, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, joyous celebrations, and we will see you in the new year. But meanwhile, thanks to my producer Jay Barbell, who has just been, you know, wonderful. And I really will miss you, Jay. Thank you. And I wish you the best in your new endeavors. Thanks to everybody who joined us through the chat room today, and to all the listeners, whether you're listening live or you're listening to this through the on-demand section of 1-2 Radio. Remember that you can connect with us through Mark's Power Peak, and specifically through me, through the Week Ahead column. And you know, our advisors, 1-2Listen is still open 24/7, so you can get a session or a reading from any of our advisors. And for me in particular, I will be available. And I encourage you to use the features on the site, the callback and the request a scheduled call, because then I know exactly when you want to talk. And so, you know, don't just wait to find me. If you want to talk, use one of those features and I'll get on as soon as I can, or try to accommodate your request, okay? So everybody, happy holidays. You have been listening to Everyday Astrology. I hope you keep it tuned to 1-2 Radio, because coming up next is Empowerment with Kelly Whetstone on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way we listen to the world.